In a few minutes, we'll talk about evidence Chinese agents put a hacking chip into the computers at Amazon, Apple, and more. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, we have a market story. With evidence the U.S. economy is getting stronger, U.S. bonds have been selling off, pushing that benchmark for U.S. interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield, up to 3.22%. Stock markets have been falling. Emerging market currencies are also under downward pressure. Here's Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson.
So this came after some strong data on private sector jobs in the U.S. was yesterday, which raised expectations for more jobs data due out Friday. And when investors are optimistic about growth in the economy, they may feel less need to hold ultra-safe investments like U.S. Treasuries. Remember, when demand for bonds is low, prices drop, the yield climbs. As investors move into relatively riskier assets, their price climbs. And we saw that yesterday in stocks and oil, and along with a rising value of the U.S. dollar. The flip side is, as the dollar rises, it sends the value of other currencies down. Emerging market currencies were especially hit.
All right. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you. Let's check the live market screens here. The FTSE index in London is down 1%. Paris also down by a similar percentage. Hong Kong fell 1.7% overnight, but the key index in Shanghai went up 1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down, 0.6% for the NASDAQ future. Now, did agents of the Chinese army insert secret computer chips into equipment allowing the Chinese government to hack into computers used by Amazon, Apple, and the U.S. government? Bloomberg News today published an investigative piece that starts out with Amazon a couple years ago looking to buy a company called Elemental Technologies that is good at streaming video. As part of Amazon's due diligence, they brought in consultants to check that company's security. Bloomberg reporter Jordan Robertson told me this morning that something bad turned up.
They made an amazing discovery, according to our reporting, which is as they dug into some suspicious behavior, on the hardware, what they discovered was that the motherboards, the circuit boards on those computer servers that Elemental sold, had been seeded with a tiny, size of a grain of rice, malicious chip that just contained a tiny piece of malware that was effectively a permanent infection, the worst kind of hack you can do.
Like a back door into the system. Now, I hate to ruin the suspense of the piece, but who done it, do you think?
Our reporting, as one source put it, points 150% to China. The U.S., doesn't own the manufacturing base anymore. China does for computer IT equipment. And as a result, if targets of high value, begin procuring equipment from companies that are vulnerable in China, as this story points out, the Chinese government has a very high interest in infiltrating those companies.
Now, the Chinese government is not raising its hand and saying, oh, yeah, you got us. Do you have any reaction from them?
Apple and Amazon and Supermicro all deny the reporting. The Chinese government, however, declined to address the specifics of our question and instead said that China is also a victim of supply chain attacks and said that it is a resolute defender of supply chain cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity reporter Jordan Robertson, along with Michael Riley, wrote the piece for Bloomberg News, The Big Hack, How China Used a Tiny Chip to Infiltrate Amazon and Apple. Jordan, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
A year ago tomorrow, the big story broke detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment and predatory behavior against the powerful Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. That spawned the Me Too movement. We check in from time to time with Jillian Thomas, senior staff attorney at the ACLU's Women's Rights Project. Among other things, she's been on the lookout for new laws to protect people from predator bosses.
Legislation really has not resulted from the Me Too moment. Roughly 125 pieces of legislation introduced around the country. I know, sounds promising, but most of that legislation actually had to do with regulation of the legislature's own sexual harassment policies and their responses to those allegations.
So the few that were enacted were about legislators doing bad things and preventing them from doing bad things.
And a few other things. I don't mean to be so pessimistic. In California, there was a measure that passed that requires employers to do mandatory training and put in place better complaint procedures. Another couple of states that might surprise you, Louisiana and Virginia, also passed similar legislation.
Plenty of companies still haven't gotten the memo on this. But are there some companies that are figuring out how to, in your view, properly respond to terrible cultural problem like this?
I really think there are. My friends in the management bar who represent employers as part of their practice tell me that their phones are ringing off the hook, whether it's because of fear of lawsuits or negative publicity or really just because they do want to do the right thing.
Companies calling say, what are we supposed to do? We have these allegations or we want to be sure this doesn't happen here.
Yeah, it's the latter. It's getting in front of the allegations. It's figuring out, okay, we have a harassment policy and complaint procedure on paper, but how do we really make it work? And of course, statistics show people don't use those policies because they fear retaliation. And those studies also show that retaliation usually does result from bringing a complaint.
Well, what's the answer?
Oh, how long have you got? What it really takes is top-down commitment. And the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, came out with a task force report a couple of years ago with a number of risk factors that indicate that an employer might have more of a susceptibility to harassment occurring in its ranks, and then also itemized best practices. And, you know, training. Training gets a very bad name for a very good reason, which is most training is terrible. Mm. And also, it doesn't happen enough. Such bad food and such small portions, right? It shouldn't just be about avoiding liability. It should be about creating a place that everybody feels safe.
Jillian Thomas is a senior staff attorney with the ACLU's Women's Rights Project and author of a book about the law and sex discrimination. Jillian, always good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
This week, the insurance company Travelers petitioned a court in New York not to force it to pay for the results of lawsuits against Weinstein. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.